Remain standing for the reading of the scriptures together. And our text this morning will come from the book of Galatians in the New Testament. From Galatians and chapter 5. And we'll read verses 22 and 23. And then take as our text the fifth fruit of the Spirit. Being kindness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. And this is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. In his spiritual autobiography, the church father, St. Augustine, gives an account of his own conversion, his passing from death to life. And he attributes many things. He says, "The Lord used many things to draw me to himself. But one instrument of the Lord's hand was a certain bishop, Bishop Ambrose. When Augustine came under the hearing and the companionship of Bishop Ambrose, he was not yet a Christian. He was thinking through it, but he was not yet a believer. And Augustine said it was the kindness of this man, which the Lord used to open his hearing. He was more willing to hear what Ambrose had to say. He was simply a kind, gentle-hearted man. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. The kindness of Ambrose, just as many of you have experienced, for some of you it was the kindness of a parent, the kindness of a sibling, or a friend. Kindness was one of the instruments the Lord used to show you His own goodness, His own kindness. And kindness can be found in unexpected places and sometimes in hostile ground. In a few weeks, we'll come to 1 Samuel 25, and we'll read of Abigail. Abigail is married to Nabal. Nabal is not a kind man. Nabal is a harsh man. He's a foolish man. And Abigail, there in 1 Samuel 25, Abigail, it is her kindness. It is her active, intentional, specific kindness that not only saves bloodshed among David and his men, it even saves her husband It saves her husband's life in the immediate. Kindness. The kindness of Ambrose. The kindness of Abigail. There's a 19th century pastor, a Virginian, Robert Dabney. He served for a short time as a military chaplain and as chief of staff for General Jackson. Dabney tells the story of a lawyer who was certainly a courteous, amiable, moral, upright man. But he saw religion as a delusion. A religion was simply something for fanatics. And Dabney tells the story of this lawyer's conversion. In his final years of life, many of us become more established and set in our ways. It becomes more difficult to learn new things and to change, to shift. This man was converted in his final years. And when he met with the session, you know, when you make a profession of faith, many of you all know this, when you make a profession of faith, you meet with the elders, and it's a wonderful conversation. You're simply asked, well, how did this happen? How did you come to know the Lord? What is the gospel? How did you come to believe this? What feeds you? Wonderfully rich conversations. Well, the session met with this lawyer, as Dabney tells the story, and they asked him, well, how did this come about? The pastor had lent several books to the man. He knew he was a reading man, and he had lent books to him. Well, was it a certain book that was read? And the man said, no. If I had to point to one thing, it was my niece. His niece's name was Katie. If I had to point to one thing, it was Katie. Katie had not preached. She had not sat him down. She had simply lived. And in particular, this elderly lawyer said, I noticed how she responded when she was pressured. And the way she lived with grace under pressure. That's what did it. He knew that such grace and demeanor was above nature. All of us can testify. Family life contains many pressures. And he knew that such demeanor could only come from above. He saw a supernatural mark and he wanted it. The evangelistic power of kindness. The sanctifying power of kindness. Where do you find such demeanor, such heart, such disposition? We are in a harsh, short, clipped, snappy world where it is easy. It's easy to let it fly. Many of us have short fuses. And it doesn't take much. We're talking about something that is above nature. We're not talking about something you can muster up. You can try as hard as you can. The elderly Virginia lawyer had tried as much as he could. But he saw something in his niece Katie which he had never attained. How do you attain such demeanor? Look back on the front end of verse 22. The apostle says, the fruit of the Spirit. This is a cluster. This is a cluster of fruit that is found on a vine. These are not just a bunch of marbles in a bag. They are grapes on the cluster, fruits on the vine. And they come together. They work together. They reinforce each other. Love comes on the front end. It is love that teaches true kindness, true goodness. There is so much that can be said about the two fruits of kindness and goodness. I thought about combining them both for this week, but there's just too much that can be said about both. And so we'll stretch it over a couple of weeks. But kindness, where can such be found? You look to the Spirit. This is a fruit of the Spirit. This is something that flows out of your union with Christ. What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who is in union with Christ. Boys, you remember the image from this morning? You're taken out of sin and misery, and you're placed in to Christ. Out and in. What is a Christian? You're taken out and you're put in. You're out of the state of sin and misery, and you are placed in Christ. You are in union with Christ. And the Spirit, y'all, the Spirit, is he not the oil? Is he not the oil that feeds the lamp? Is he not that fuel that keeps the fire kindled? This is a fruit of the Spirit. A Spirit-anointed man. What does he look like? Well, he is filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Now, you and I are exceedingly imperfect and flawed in this life. And so our love grows cool, our affections grow cold, our patience wears thin, and our kindness, if it exists at all, is short-lived. And so where do we look? You look to your union with Christ. You look to the fullness of Christ. And there in union with Him, there is your fount. He is the fount of life. He is the well of life. He is the source. He is the mentor. He is the instructor. And so, in union with Christ, being filled with His Spirit, is this not why you and I so desperately need the Spirit? Tonight we're talking about the difference between David and Saul. What are the differences between David and Saul? One of the big differences between David and Saul, one possesses the Spirit of God and the other does not. The Spirit of God, everything depends. Every scrap of spiritual life you and I have, every ounce of goodness, it all depends on the Spirit of God. So, under the Spirit's teaching, how can such kindness be found? First thing I want you to do is behold your God. Where do you learn of kindness as the fruit of the Spirit? We're not just talking about being nice. Please do not confuse this with niceness. A mentor and dear friend of mine told me years ago, we are not about a gospel of niceness. We believe a gospel of righteousness. There's a vast difference between the two. We're not talking about niceness. We're talking about kindness. And where do you learn kindness? Behold your God. Don't look within. If you look within, all you will find is a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Behold your God. And what is He? Is He not your Creator? Has He not given you life and breath? Is He not your provider, your sustainer? Is He not the one who upholds all things by the word of His power? You behold your God. And where do you behold your God? You behold this God as the Scriptures, as the Bible is read, and as it is heard, as it is sung, as it is prayed and preached. Children of Zion, look to your God. Behold, here is your Creator. Here is your provider. Here is your sustainer. Here is your redeemer. Here is your friend. Here is your guide. Here is your consolation. Here is your portion. Here is the bread of life. Behold your God. When you behold Him, you're beholding one whose very nature is kindness itself. You're beholding Him who is love itself. Yes, God is holiness. God is truth. God is justice. He is faithfulness. Never forget that God is love. He is the fullness of love itself. And kindness is the specific expression of that love. But how does He express His love for you? Well, He is kind. Some of your translations there read gentle. It can also just as easily be translated as goodness. And there's so much to be said about each of these. Kindness, gentleness, goodness. You behold Him who causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, who gives air and provision for the evil as well as the good. Behold your God, whose very nature is kind. You know, when you receive a gift, your love and appreciation for the gift is enhanced when you know the giver. It bears the mark, regardless of what it is. Regardless of what the gift is, it bears the mark of the giver. Children have brought me gifts, laid gifts on the pulpit, just drawings, little things that are made. Left them here for me to find. They bear the mark of the giver. Some of you have your favorite gifts that you've received over the years, and you love them, yes, for what they are, but you love them because you know the source. Whatever the gifts of the Lord are that He has given to you, those gifts are intended to point you upward, and the gift bears the mark of the giver. The gift enhances your love for the giver. If you would learn kindness, behold your God. Second, hear His words. Consider who He is, but then listen to what He has said. And what has He done? What has He done for His people who are lost, who are wandering, who are in this journey called life, and they are stuck? The bolts are stripped out. The feet are weary and cannot move another inch. What does Christ, the great high priest, what does He do when He peers down and He sees His people who are despairing? They are depressed. There is an oppressive weight that they cannot be rid of. They cannot shed it. They cannot lift it. What does Christ, the great high priest, what does He do? Does He not descend? Does He not come? Is it not love that makes Him speak? Does He not voice the promises? Does He not exhort? What is kindness? Kindness is concrete, tangible, specific expressions of love. They could be verbal, as when He speaks. They could be nonverbal, as when He works, when He does. But for this second, hear what he says. And what has he said? What has he voiced to you through the Scriptures? Again, behold your God. Behold your God in the written Word. And when you look to the written Word, what has he said? And do his words, are they not bracing? Are they not fortifying? Do they not strengthen your hand in the Lord? Do they not focus your courage? Do they not focus your trust? There's a surge. You hear his words, you hear his voice, and there is a surge in your own courage and confidence. You think courage and confidence comes from within yourself? No, you hear the voice. You hear the kind words of God. The kind words of our warrior king. One of the greatest battle epics ever written. Shakespeare's King Henry V. You've seen Band of Brothers. That phrase, Band of Brothers, where did it come from? King Henry V. And there's a speech. We few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he who sheds his blood with me today shall be my brother. Okay, right before that very famous speech, there's a council of war. And at the council of war, Lord Exeter says to Salisbury, farewell, kind Lord, fight valiantly today. Salisbury, recognized as a kind Lord who would fight valiantly. Salisbury leaves the scene, and one of the other men says of him as he walks away, he is as full of valor as of kindness, princely in both. As full of valor as he is of kindness. Princely in both. There is something princely. There is something noble. There is something royal about valor joined with kindness. There is something princely, something royal about Christ. And what does Christ do? Christ, he speaks. He voices the promises. And when he speaks, what does it do? It fortifies, it strengthens the hand of his brothers. Jesus, he himself, he is as full of valor as he is of kindness. He is princely in both. And he fights valiantly. Where does kindness come from? Behold your God and listen to what he says. And in hearing his words, in hearing his voice, you find that you hear just a little touch and sliver, and you begin to partake just a bit of his own valor and kindness. It's not going to come from you. No, it comes from the Spirit of Christ. We're talking about the Spirit of Christ. And as you hear his words, his restraint, his exhortings, his promises, his words begin to shape your own. His heart begins to mold your own. If you would learn kindness, behold your God. Listen to his words. Let his words begin to shape and mold your own. He who loves the unlovely. But third, consider his work. Consider his work of mercy and his work of grace. Mercy and grace. You know, mercy is His goodness toward suffering. Grace is His goodness toward sin. We'll talk more about those next week, but His work, you embrace the fullness of His work. And in His mercy, what has He done? In His kindness toward His children, what does He do? He relieves suffering. He is mercy. He is mercy itself. Jacob's mother has passed into glory. And what does He provide? He provides a wife. For Isaac, rather. He provides a wife as comfort in the passing of his mother. These gifts, the gifts of the Lord, these voicings, these promises, these gifts, these created gifts which are bestowed to you. The loaves of bread and the two fish. What does Christ, what does He do? He gives. How does He express His kindness? Well, He gives. And there is pity. The Lord Jesus, from His exalted position at the right hand of the Majesty on high, He expresses pity. There is pity for those who suffer. There is pity for those who are under the rotting, terminal disease of sin. And what does He do? In His pity, in His mercy toward those who suffer, the Lord Jesus, can He be indifferent? Can He be passive? No, what does He do? In specific, concrete, active kindness, in expressed love for His lost sheep, what does He do? God manifest in the flesh, taking on human form, obeying the law in their place. What has the Apostle Paul been preaching? Has he not been preaching of the immense, unmixed grace of the living God? Has he not been preaching of the true gospel? And that there is no other gospel. That there is no other Christ. There is no other truth. Has he not been speaking of the grace of God that sets you apart from your mother's womb? The grace of God, which makes a distinction between you and the rest of the world. This grace of God, which calls to you. This grace of God, which justifies you. What has Christ done in the gospel? Has He not, in pity, has He not made provision, full, secure provision for your complete justification? We try to justify ourselves. We try to rationalize and excuse our own sin. We make excuses for ourselves. We justify ourselves. Jesus comes and says, let's change the definition and the method. To justify does not mean to make excuses. To justify means you're fully pardoned and accepted. And the only way this can happen is through the work, the obedience, the blood of another. The kindness of God. The kindness of God in the gospel. So make a study. Make a study of the gospel. If you would increase in kindness, if you would be described as full of valor and of kindness, make a study. A study of the gospel, a study of the attributes of God. Make a study of His nature, His love, His mercy, His kindness. Make a study. Ultimately, what you and I need in every area of life is a massive study of the bigness of God, the vastness of God, the kindness of God. That's what's going to change things in your life, in your home, in your family, your marriage, your friendships, your work, your calling. to make a study of God. Listen to His words. Listen to His voice. You know, we tend to catch the vocabulary, even the accents, the inflections of the people around us. And we catch the language. Listen to His words. Let your ear be bent to His accent, His inflections, His vocabulary. Listen to His words. And see if your own words do not become more restrained and focused, full of love and joy and peace and patience. Make a study of His words. And receive of His fullness. Receive of His work. Receive of His grace and mercy. Look to the Spirit. Go to the Spirit. And don't delay. Look to this Christ. Look to the Christ of the Bible. Look to the Spirit of God. And you cry out unto Him. You confess your own coldness, your own lack of kindness, your own sin. And trust that He's not only able to forgive and to pardon, He's able to replace. He's able to replace the harshness, the malice. He's able to melt the hardest heart. He is as full of valor as of kindness. And in union with Him, you and I begin to resemble Him. And then you and I begin to relate to one another as fellow flawed image bearers. At the end of the day, is that not what it is to treat others with kindness? That we look at each other, we speak to one another, we live with each other, we treat one another as fellow flawed image bearers. We're bearing the image of God. We have immortal souls. Parents with children. Children with parents. Friends with friends. Leaders with those who are led. Teachers with students. Students with teachers. Doctors with patients. Patients with doctors. We relate, we look, and we speak with one another as those who bear in deeply flawed ways the image of God. And by His Spirit, may you and I begin to more and more resemble the restored image of God. Pray with me. Our kind, gracious Lord, we would look to You this day, the author of every gift, the author of every grace, the one who simply gives. We trust, Lord, that You are able. We would fall before the majesty of Your throne, confessing our own sin and lack of kindness. And we pray, Lord, that by Your Spirit You would train us. Fill us to the brim with the love of God. Give us to make a study of Your character, Your attributes. Give us to hear Your words, to tremble at Your voice, to adopt Your language and Your words, and then to simply receive of Your sanctifying, purifying grace. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.